Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Dan.
Let's continue our conversation we were having pre-pressing record about what music we've been listening to this week.
Well, I'm going to repeat exactly what I just said. I've been listening to this up-and-coming band from Sheffield. You've probably not heard of them, called Arctic Monkeys.
This is brand new information.
Yeah.
Which album?
I'll be honest, I've been casual fanning it and just going through them all.
This is Arctic Monkeys on Spotify.
Yeah, pretty much, but I've been doing a bit more custom than that. I've just been going through all the albums and making my own queue of the hits, but predominantly AM because it's just incredible.
What's on AM? What are the big hitters?
Are You Mine?
Yeah, true.
Do I want to know?
Ooh, that's weird that we both said it at unison. Why do you only call me when you're high?
It's my favourite on there. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Best two on that album, Why Do You Only Call Me When You're High and Snap Out Of It.
Yeah, Snap Out Of It is good.
Brilliant song.
I've been singing that to Gemma a lot this week.
The high parts, I hope. Snap Out Of It!
Just all of it, I think.
best album, the first one in AM.
Yeah.
Do you know what I don't get though? I don't get this. Both the bands and Arctic Monkeys fans' obsession that 505 is so good. Because they close with it, don't they?
Oh, it's good though, isn't it?
It's good, but it's not. I don't think it's set closing good.
It's good, but
you're not saying it's the tracks.
Someone's just pulled up on a motorbike outside my house, so I think I'm having some trouble with the Hells Angels.
Oh, your parents will be worried.
That or they're both having a midlife crisis and they've bought two motorbikes. Oh, really? Well, last time you bought a scooter, you didn't go on it.
I didn't go on it. I was a bit scared of it. I didn't really want to.
Do you know what? But now, think of the Instagrams.
Approach to injure myself when it comes to cycling, so.
Yeah, I still feel partially responsible, but I don't feel bad, so. What have I been listening to? Yeah, Muse as well. I've said loads of them. Oh my God, Biffy Clyro's new song, Tiny Indoor Fireworks. That's amazing.
I'm going to check that
out.
They're
really
right
tiny. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Is it like, being that guy, but like old school Biffy, like just heavy and fucking, yeah, this is what we're about. Before they realise they could actually make money out of music.
No, it's not. It's Bubbles level of Biffy Clyro.
Oh, okay.
Ah, Justice. You know, Justice, the electronic duo. I've listened to them. That's cool. What's that album called where they've like not remixed their own songs, but there's like an album where they've done like a whole sort of like set. Woman Worldwide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great. Sonic Youth, because I'm legit as well.
It's not really like listening to music, but ever since Max last week, hey, check out last week's podcast where Max from Zella joined us.
Nice.
He talked about what a great drummer George was, about and specifics surrounding that. And I've been watching like people on YouTube breaking down why he's an amazing drummer. I'm like, oh, so interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's loads of like YouTube videos of like they pause it and they'd be like, see, he should hit the snare at this point, but he chooses not to for this reason. Or like he delays stuff to hit cymbals and stuff on lyrics. So it sounds like if you just heard the drum track on its own, it'd sound like weirdly off and lazy, but like it's part of his style to fit in with Matt.
No, that's cool.
That's cool. I watched yesterday, Rick Beato's new YouTube episode. If you're into music and music production, search Rick Beato, which is B-E-A-T-O, on YouTube, and he does this series called What Makes This Song Great. The most recent one was Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's sick.
And just going off the drumming is that at the start of, like, when the chorus kicks in and when it kicks in heavy, there's, like, Dave Grohl, like, very slightly delays when he hits, like, the sort of cymbal and the kick drum at the same time to give even more impact when it's coming in.
Oh,
obviously, he's got the stems as well, and it's amazing. So yeah,
yeah. I guess when you're in a position of authority, you just phone someone up and be like, "Send him over, bro."
Stems as well as Latin spirit as well.
On the subject of stems, though.
Oh shit!
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you downloaded them?
I've downloaded the birthday party.
Oh okay.
I've downloaded both the birthday party and If You're Too Shy. Not people yet, but I will do at some point.
Yeah. Do you remember that time, we're going off subject here, but do you remember that time at, not Arctic Monkeys, we our scientists released some stems? That was great. I just love listening to stems.
I remember sending you block party stems, but I think I sort of acquired them off the internet, let's say.
Stems, because they wanted you. They did a competition where you could.
I remember.
Do a remix.
Yeah.
Well, the 1975 are doing that, aren't they? Or maybe it's not a competition, but there's
basically. Yeah. So when this goes out, this will be a post notes on a conditional form world. We'll have heard it.
Holy shit!
So let's just. Oh my god! So when we're recording this, it's Thursday. It's not come out yet. But have you seen all the reviews it's been getting?
Yeah, I mean, you've posted a few in our
group. So it's been getting as many five-star reviews as it has been one-star reviews.
It's hard to really... I don't understand how music's reviewable, really, because it's...
No.
I don't know. You only get that sort of attention when you're at a level where everybody's got an agenda. People are trying to get clicks, man. Like, I just... I can't even believe that music reviews like that from proper mainstream outlets are even a thing anymore, because it's so democratized now. I don't know, I'd never even think to read one, because I just think, well, you're not me, so I might like it. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what, though? Like, yeah, I read them out of interest, but I think if... I sort of take note of film reviews a lot more than I would music reviews. Because I feel like if I'm looking for films to watch, I will take note of whether people who I listen to as film critics say if it's good or bad. Because I know the sort of taste they have in films, and it's usually by this point I share that taste. But with music, I feel like I'd never seek out an album on a band based on reviews.
No.
So I know what you're saying. Like, they're interesting to read. Like, who are they for? Like, one of them, obviously, I read a 5-star review. And it was just interesting to read, like, what people think about the album. But yeah, it's like, who actually gives them that much sort of, like, stock, really?
I don't know. I think maybe I used to be a bit more serious about music in that way, but now I'm like, I'm just all about how does it make you feel, man? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really... Well, Andy posted one in my stag do group, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this one, Josh. Healy tends to borrow heavily from his favourites. He's admitted in the past that the way I write music is that I listen to a song I love and I copy it. Right. Single people... pays its dues to Fugazi, particularly 1998's end hits. Now, Fugazi is such a credible punk band that I'd be like, whoa, you're not comparing me to, like, someone really mainstream. but in that, it's a paint-by-numbers replication of their ramshackle energy. If You're Too Shy lifts outrageously from Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, from the... Does anyone know what I'm trying to say there?
No.
I've never heard that. It's P-R-O-P-U-L-S-I-V. prop ulysses shuffle rhythm to the twinkling synths, while the intro on Tonight I Wish I Was Your Boy uses a vocoder pitch that is pure Kanye West. It's probably more voice box then, bro. I think I fucked it royally. Healy sings on the latter. He's not wrong, which is suggesting that I think that the guy thinks he fucked it royally. I hope you get your clicks, mate. I hope you get your fucking clicks, because Healy's
Jamie Oborn retweeted something that said these negative reviews feel more like a sort of personal sort of like dressing down of Matty rather than an actual review on the album.
Yeah.
I reckon that's right. That's it. Because I think is it Dork magazine loved the 1975. Like, they tweet about him all the time. And they obviously gave him a 5-star review. And I read theirs as well, and that did feel like an album review.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the whole entire company is like massive fans, then it's going to be it's going to lean that way, isn't it? Then the negative one reviews do sort of like, oh, Matty Healy's hubris to all this sort of like self-referential stuff, his bloated album and all that. It just feels like, well, I imagine the same thing would happen with Kanye West, actually. I think people won't be able to eliminate personal bias in regards to Kanye West when it comes to his music. Because, you know, I've thought that. I think recently, like when when he was knocking about with Trump and he was doing all that and he released them two albums, I was sort of thinking like, oh, he's a bit of a cunt these days. I might just skip these ones.
The thing is, he's dead. Kanye West is really good, but I don't know if any of his... I've just not liked anything he's done in the past 7 years or whatever.
That is just such a sign to me that you've made it, though. When it, you know, there's a point in your career when if your music's shit, people would just not write about it because who are you and you're making shit music and they don't give a fuck. So if you get to a point in your career where people are taking the time out to write bad reviews about you, then
yeah.
I'd just be like, yes. And obviously we've not heard the album and there will be songs on it that I don't like. We're always very honest on this podcast about our opinions. But listen, mate, if you've not got anything nice to say, just say what you need to get those clicks and pay the bills, bro. We understand.
I just don't understand how it can be bad, because everything I've heard from it so far, apart from People, I've loved.
Even the video for People dropped this week. Have we watched that?
The live video, yeah.
Yeah. And I liked it so much more than what I'd heard of it before. I thought it was great. Like, no, very different, but I just thought I could understand it a bit more.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
And like, it felt like a real song, like, that they could just play with no other production and just rock it. And
I
enjoyed it. I was like, yeah. But, I mean, I'll happily listen to, like, Korn, Slipknot, fucking Thursday, so it's a bit different to like the normal 1975 audience, I guess. But
I think it's like with the album, I'm obviously saying this without hearing it, but it sort of feels
just
like,
pretend we've got it, pretend we can't talk about the album yet, it's embargoed until midnight tonight.
Yeah. And do you know what, and it got leaked and I have not listened to the leak.
Holy shit, I didn't know it's been leaked. When did it get leaked?
Like earlier this week.
I googled it maybe a month ago. I was like, has it leaked yet? .com in there. And I mean, a friend of a friend told me that he googled it and it hadn't leaked at that time.
I mean, back in the day, I would 100% have downloaded these songs off LimeWire. But yeah. I was like, no.
So would Matt Healy, though.
Josh, why is that homepage a porn site now? Sorry, Dad, LimeWire.
This is true. So one night we had, it was New Year's Eve, and we had all this like antivirus software, and it was years ago. And it was when you went PC World, bought your computer, and the guy was like, you should get this antivirus. And we were all like, yeah.
Fuck you,
like,
Norton.
No idea actually what it did and all that. Gets to midnight, New Year's Eve. Our antivirus ran out for the year. And then we woke up the following morning, and there was honestly about 10 different icons on the desktop of like live gambling, fetish girls, Men Interested in Men, and all this sort of stuff. And I can't tell, like, oh my God, what the hell?
It wasn't me.
It must have been like all the antivirus stuff was just like holding it back until it ran out, and it was like, not renewing, are you? Fuck you.
Really, if you had like McAfee, that guy's well dodgy. Like, you can see how... His software would probably... Do you know about the McAfee guy?
I know it's dodgy, but if you tell me it, I'll remember.
He's men who have murdered people. I think there's Netflix documentaries about him. Especially in furlough times. Have a look. Just be interested. But I can imagine how his software would probably put its own dodgy shit on your computer just to make you buy it again.
Should we do the show? Should we get into it? Oh my God. Because some GIs for hay fever. Yeah, we do, because this song's mint. Oh my God, don't mind me just itching my eye.
Isn't it funny that we always have like an hour of shit? Just we need to get out of the way first.
It'll be different after lockdown. It's just because this feels like we're going to the pub and we're like, yes, friends!
Yeah. Can't wait to take a laptop and a condenser mic to the wine press.
You could do it at the wine press on the couches.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it, that?
That's like when they do those like special radio shows from like the pub, like Chris Miles at the pub or something.
Yeah, in Leeds. Yeah.
Right, thank you to everyone that has listened around the world so far. The numbers are amazing. Like, we're super happy. All the people that have subscribed on Spotify as well. We're like 108 subscribers on Spotify, which is... I can't believe it's actually that many. I feel like a YouTuber. Yeah, subscribe. Hit that bell button. Smash the like button.
Tell your friends.
I don't think I ever said that. If you like this podcast and you've got mates like the 975, tell them, because obviously growing the show means we get more guests.
Do you know what I've just thought, Josh? We should start lying about our numbers so that people think it's cool. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
200,000 listeners last week. We can't believe it. This thing's growing like crazy. Make sure you tell your friends about it before they get left behind.
Yeah, before we get signed to a major podcast label, make sure you check us out before we...
Yeah.
Subscribe while it's still free.
Well, we'll never sell out that much. We'll just buy adverts on when we can. Right, this week we are talking about Settle Down. One of the most underrated songs. There, I said it.
Yeah.
Hey, who's underrating it?
As in, it's not... I think it's one of the ones that isn't spoken about on this album as much. Yeah, but I think it's so fucking good. I have a Settle Down t-shirt. How about that?
Good for you. Good for you.
I bought it on Depop for £6. But the point is... Well, I think it's brilliant. I think it's like we said, Heart Out was just like a perfect 1975 song. Like, the guitars, the vocals, the lyrics, everything. The production is just so good, and I wish they played it live more.
You know what, though? I mean, we will get to this, but I don't think it's as good as She Way Out. I feel like Settle Down, the subject of today's podcast, Heart Out and She Way Out are like a trinity. I don't think there's much separating them. I think they're very similar.
You're right, man. They are related
mean, yeah.
But I feel like Settle Down is the weakest of the three of them.
I'm not saying
it's the dregs. No, it's very, 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 and I cannot stress this enough, very good. However, I just think out of those three, it's my least favourite.
Out of those three, I think there's very little between Heart Out and Settle Down. I think Heart Out, maybe just by a hair, is my favourite. But it's one of those things, like, where you say that now, and it's, all right, you don't like She Way Out. Obviously, yes, but, like, if you're ranking, it's...
Wonder what my favourite is.
I'm going to say it's She Way Out.
Big She Way Out fan.
Yeah.
They are related to each other.
Absolutely, yeah. They've just got similar... I don't know... I hate saying this word because it's foreign. Oh, that sounds Brexit. No. timbre. Predominantly because I don't really know how to stress it correctly, but I feel like they've got the same timbre. Timbre, as they say in Rochdale, timbre.
Yeah. I was thinking that when we said settle down, that's probably the most northern we're going to sound saying one of the song titles.
Is it because it's got the word down in it? Because Gemma always picks me up on that. She's always like, you say down really funny. And then she...
Yeah. And you like, did you have no idea before that you said it any different to like anyone else?
No.
Because I went to uni and then like first week at uni, I said cloud and they were like, oh my God, you say that so weird. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. So, and then when it gets to it, the sound, that's another one.
Sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll just be like, I just say it like that so that you, when you hear my voice, your subconscious interprets that I'm new to your gene pool. It makes me very attractive.
Me and Josh just talk about how we didn't realise until quite late in our lives, really, that we say down and cloud, sound, funny.
Josh is stronger than you, I think, and I take them and carry you.
Josh is stronger than you. Oh, why don't you try your wedding suit on
that
again, Josh?
Sam's got a hang up about me comments on Josh's suit.
I'm just like, why? Listen, we can all do a press up. It's not a thing.
So, yeah, I found out when I started working at Next that I've got a very funny accent. And once someone Right, if I was to say to you, oh, thank you very much, a buffet, right, would you know what that is?
The thing you put your feet on when you're like...
Yeah. It was only when I started working at Next I found out that a buffet isn't a thing outside of Rochdale.
No!
What?
Yes. Is it not?
No, it's a footstool to everyone else.
Buffet is... What?
Yeah, buffet, yeah, but someone once came in and asked for a buffet. I was like, you are so lucky you came to me. I said, which district of Rochdale are you from? And it was from Milnrow.
No way.
But I was like, believe it or not, buffet's not a real word. And they were amazed.
That's blown my mind.
I crookled recently and I just need something to support my ankle. Have you got any buffets?
Yeah.
People from Oldham like, what the fuck is this guy in about?
Guys on drugs.
For crying out loud, Zelda.
After Max was talking about Josh Drummond, right? One of the songs that I watched... George Drummond. Not Josh. One of the songs I watched break down was Chocolate. And I started imagining, like, just if Chocolate had, like, a rock rhythm behind it, it'd be such a standard... song, like it'd be so boring.
Yeah, still, but,
like if it was like doo 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 doo, like and it's absolutely.
Oh my God, you're right.
Not that. And I was like, holy shit, this is really really important that he's not doing that.
Yeah,
he really. And I was like hearing the shit rock rhythm in my head, going, wow.
Yeah, it's that shuffle, isn't it, that really makes it.
And he hits his bass drum when he hits his snare as well, you know. Loads. Which if I was programming drums, I'd never do. But like he does it a lot. Programming. Because that's the best I could ever hope for. Don't give me the sticks.
Right, settle down, let's do it. So, Dan, you said... that you heard this and Higher at the same time, sort of like the pre-album.
Yeah, people were uploading live videos of Heart Out and Settle Down being played. And so, they'll always be intertwined for me. And choosing a favourite between the two, certainly at the time, I remember hearing them and just being like, these two are both absolutely sick. Yes! And it was... such an important thing that there was more exciting stuff to listen to on the on the record, as they would call it, and Little Comets would hate. Do you know that? Why do we know about Little Comets hating that so much? I think they were tweeting them saying, I'll buy your album if you stop calling it a record.
I don't know. I feel like that's passed me by. I don't...
Yeah, they were taking the piss out of them hard.
Ah, okay. Which is good.
Yeah, it keeps them down to earth.
Absolutely, yeah. You know that, like... I reckon they'll still have a good relationship with Little Comets.
I guess for those who don't know, Little Comets were on... They were on Dirty Hit, right? They were.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, so Little Comets were on Dirty Hit. And Little Comets are credible to the point of causing their own demise.
Yes, that is such a great summary.
I know exactly sort of what you're referring to.
So unwilling to ever do anything that might make them famous. Yeah. Like we read about with Biffy before, when you realise, holy shit, music can make money. Excuse me. What was that? Like, Little Comets have been like, nah, we're all right. We're eternally poor. We're going to be okay. And so the first, some really important supporting tours for the 1975 before they were big was with Little Comet, with Little Comets. And go and check Little Comets out. Little Comets. Why do you want to say Little Comments? Little Comets out there, sick. But yeah, so, but there are a load of Geordie lads, and they took the piss out of Matt Healy hard, and it was funny.
Yeah. I think to go back, as well, I know this is the 1975 podcast, but to go back to the they are credible to their own demise point, two support acts that Little Comets have had are the 1975 and Catfish in the Bottom Then.
Yeah. Did we not see them on the same bill once?
Yeah. So, you know, that it shows that they've got a really good fan. What's the fandom? I want to say, what's the proper...
Fan base?
Fan base, yeah. I couldn't decide if it was fandom or fanship. But yeah,
fan face.
They've got a fantastic fan base. But yeah, they're just too credible. They write very arty stuff. Good. You should check them out, though, as Dan said. And also, they had a bit of a dispute with Little Comets. Little Comets had
Little Comments?
Had some big comments to make against Dirty Hit.
Oh, shit. That's passed me by.
Yeah. They were tweeting the most public of forums.
At Posit Playpod.
The gist of it was, at Dirty Hit, would be great if, you know, you put the same level of effort into your other artists as you do the 1975.
Difficult argument, isn't it? I've seen well be better.
I've seen people throw that at Dirty Hit.
And then, shortly after that, Little Comet started their own label.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know with that, because it's like... There are lots of ways to take it. Like, yeah, should a label nominate one band more than the other for the promo? But also, Dirty Hit are a business.
Yeah, it's business.
You've got to keep the lights on.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. If you find a cash cow,
that's it. You know, and then I'm presenting that without comment on either if that's right or wrong. But you know, as a business, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Without the 1975 bringing the money in, there is no money to pick Pale Waves up and make them whatever they are today and whatever they'll be in the future.
But then, like, the extension of that, there's no Japanese House, there's no Rome.
Yeah.
And like I think No Rome should be huge. I'm a really huge fan, to the point of boring everyone that knows me. I think he's a vibe.
My favourite thing about Dirty Hit, though, is that Benjamin Francis Leftwich, give me a Sunday name, hasn't gone for the Little Comets route. He's just gone, I'm going to ride this one out. I keep getting paid, my records or albums keep getting released. I'm not going to rock this boat. And he just, you know, keeps producing music.
It's like Matt is working with these artists now. Like, he's working with No Rome. Like, obviously, they featured on Narcissist. Everyone listening to this knows that. And I'm sure they're doing a lot of, like, artist development, really, as well.
Yeah. I went to watch No Rome at Gorilla in Manchester with a few other artists, and I was like, 9 million views on YouTube, this guy! 9 million views! Like, because he was in the Narcissist video, obviously, like, that's why people have watched it, but...
What was I doing that night? Why couldn't I go with you?
Star Wars.
You took him! You took him from me! Yeah. I messaged Matt back, Junior back, and said, yeah, no worries, go with you, best friend. I said something like that, like, good to know, like... I was only kidding though. It wasn't a serious thing.
Let's get back onto Settle Down.
Yeah, well, it was already being played live. I can't remember what level they would have been at. I think maybe like the Apollo level when they sort of started. That I feel like that's when we first would have heard this song live. What do you reckon, Judy? Maybe earlier? Maybe like the Ritz or...
I don't know, because there was just that period, wasn't there, where it felt like we were seeing them once a month, maybe, and they all just, that period just merges into one. Like, it's crazy stuff, things I remember. Like, I remember one time we went to McDonald's beforehand and Caroline got changed in your car. But then I don't remember the gig. I just remember that we were going.
That's how formative it was, though. That's like, we were having experiences, man. Like, and seeing the 1975, I remember, like, but I wrote, when the Drive Like I Do merch came out, do you know, like, you can, they released a Drive Like I Do t-shirt.
Oh, I've got it. And recently.
Yeah. Like, in the last 2 years. And I bought Manny one of the t-shirts and wrote this letter going, bro, like, you made me listen to this band. And he pretty quickly after moved to Spain, and so he couldn't be as involved as he would have been.
Down to the Costa del Sol, Costa del Sol logo.
He was kicking shit out at Minibus. And so I said, like, you don't understand what you did for me by introducing me to this band, because it wasn't about being the first person to listen to a band. It was going to the gigs. It was like going on away days. Do you know what I mean? To the footy. It was like that sort of experience where there's a group of you and you're getting fucked up, having an amazing time and sharing something amazing and watching something grow and go from nothing to becoming something massive. And I was like, the vast majority of people don't experience that in their lives, and you gave it to me. So here's a Drive Like I Do t-shirt. Lots of love, Dan. 90.
Also, you can't lose, unlike away days. You could come away from that pretty pissed off. But we never did.
So it was real, man. It was a real thing. So I bought that to him, and he was like, he was like, Dan, that was so nice. I showed my mum and she cried. I was like, did you not cry? He's like, no, I was all right. Shit, but you asked me about Settle Down, so Settle Down. Yeah, I don't think I ever saw Settle Down in a small venue, but it was more excitement that there was big things to come.
The
stage setup was starting to come in, and you're thinking, shit, am I going to lose this band? Is this going to be the end of it? Like, have they peaked with Chocolate and Sex and stuff? And hearing Heart Out and Settle Down, it was like, yeah, no, they've not. And it was meant. It's fucking sick.
why do I like this song so much? I think the guitars, I think I'll always gravitate really more towards guitar ones, just because of base of like some my music taste. I say that, but I fucking love Two Time. If the guitars didn't remind me of Chocolate in the way that the two parts work together, but then you've got like the synth underneath, and it's like, it's so 80s, isn't it, like the whole thing?
It is. I gave this a listen the other day as well, and there won't be any magic, but it's like the bass switches. I mean, you two being a live bass performers, is it such a thing that you can have like a tone pedal where it just goes like, you smash that tone pedal and it just goes,
oh yeah, yeah.
Because
you've got three octaves on the neck though as well, easy, so that you can play the same part in a different octave.
Oh, of course, yeah, and you'd get more tone, wouldn't you? Yeah, because so, as I was listening to it, I just noticed that, like, just for a couple of notes, the bass just goes really high in tone. It goes like, bom, bom. You know, like, cheesy detective intro. And then it just goes back to being a normal sort of bass sound. Bom, bom. Sorry, I just went all tone then. Went all tone bass like Flea.
That's surprising that you've noticed that shift in tone, because unless you're doing like a huge dynamic shift, like going from like something to like a distorted bass sound or like a fuzz bass sound,
yeah,
when you change your tone like that, that's going to get lost in the mix somewhere and it's not going to stand out. But the fact that you've noticed it stand out, that's really interesting that they've. And also, Ross, again, you know. It's just becoming the Ross podcast, this, really.
I'm a big fan of Ross.
Yeah, it adds so much. And in this song as well, there's the soloed bass before the chorus as well.
Yeah.
And I say it's probably unusual that we hear... I can't think of another time where there's been like a solo. It's not a bass solo. I'm trying to avoid saying that. But there's been like a break like that in another 1975 song. I can't think of a time.
Right, I'm going to watch the video now and then I'll be able to say the exact time. Because you do hear it throughout the song, like that jumping tone, but I'll be able to put a number on it. Even though, like I said, it happens throughout. So I might be able to say at the beginning of the pre-chorus or whatever, but I can't quite think where it is. 1 minute 43.
So everyone, if you just want to set your Spotify to 1 minute 43. So what are you saying happens at 1 minute 43? Is that when it changes back or changes?
It changes tone to like the heavy tone. Bom, bom.
I think it's where he's playing the notes.
Yeah.
And if he's playing the notes on the lower strings, getting that heavier sound. But just listening specifically there to the bass, it's a really busy bass line.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, again, like, this is preference. I think if the bass is doing too much, it's a bit like, all right, yeah, we get it, Flea, you good. I'm joking, but like, I sometimes think that, like, the bass doesn't need to do stuff. Like, you're only doing that just because you can, I think.
Yeah, 100% get what you mean.
But I think it's probably the same thing with, like, George's drumming as well. Like, he's not just, you know, it's that perfect middle ground between not playing something too simple, but also not playing something too extravagant and intricate that it's showing off and it's not serving the song. I think what Ross is doing in this really serves the song, but as well, he's not just hitting the root notes.
No, it's...
But
he's so good, and that
moment
that I was talking about where I probably incorrectly suggested it was a tone pedal, because it's much more likely it just goes high on his neck. That is unnecessary. You know, he didn't need to add that in, but it pops... You know, it just bump, bump to two notes. That's it, and it's over. But it makes you go, "Whoa, what was that?"
But those real subtle like changes in the dynamics of the songs, they make such a difference. Like 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars at the start of the second verse. There's like no bass pedal for like a couple bars. I can't remember exactly what it is. But then, like, when it comes in, like, when the full kit comes back in, it's just so much more impactful and it's just taking, like, one element out. So, like, even, like, Ross just playing, like, a different, you know, a slight difference in the tone of his notes, it's lifting the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, your inner ear that doesn't quite understand. I robbed that off Rick Beato. I was listening to the Korn one today and he was talking about your inner ear.
Ah, it's good, isn't it, the Korn one?
Yeah. I didn't even realise some of the things I was listening to were bass. I thought it was the drums. I thought that was just drums, and it says that it's bass.
Yeah, in the in the verses, which is really interesting, is that the guitars are still playing like the sort of riff thing. Like the and it's the bass that's moving between the chords.
Yeah.
So the guitars are just like looped.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's I guess the root notes of what Ross is playing, even though it's not just a sort of dum 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 thing. That it's the bass that's moving the chords around the verse.
Yeah.
And then it's really similar in the chorus. I just think like the three sort of the bass and the two guitars in this, I just think it's so well constructed. And that little synth line as well. I just think the whole thing is so well written guitar music. And this week as well, I actually do know there's a music video for this song.
Does that mean you didn't edit it out? Like when you were like,
I'm not gonna edit it out. I can't believe I didn't know there was a music video for Heart Out. I think the music video for this song cool is, although I am going to say, what year did Control, the Joy Division film, come out?
I'm going to guess it was 2009.
Right, well, I reckon they watched this film and thought, let's go and do some, go and do that.
I'm going to Google Control.
Yes, the video, It just reminded me a lot of Joy Division, especially Matty walking around in that coat, which...
Yeah.
But the Joy Division, the sort of Manchester band that they would have listened to as well. Like, and we mentioned on like a previous podcast that they're not into the sort of Oasis kind of...
No.
Dark Fruits Twitter kind of rock.
No.
That more nuanced, arty, the Smiths Joy Division.
Yeah,
because they've done the
Antichrist is very Joy Division, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the whole and all the black and white stuff as well, I think is probably, you know, they've probably taken a lot from Joy Division with all their sort of like iconography, let's say, and their aesthetic.
Yeah.
From this video, I get big Joy Division vibes. I mean, the video is cool. It's very, like, it was filmed in Redcar in Yorkshire. It's very, like, which probably where Matty went on a holiday when he was a kid, because it's near Newcastle, I think.
Yeah.
It's so, like... I don't know if it's, like, from being and going to those places, but it's just so, like, bleak, northern seaside town. You know, like where it's like somewhere you go on holiday, but it's too cold to be on a holiday, but you're at the beach anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's very deprived air, isn't it? Because the economy was based on steel production.
Yeah.
Which features in the video. You can see the steel mill in the background and the terrace houses. And it, you know, it really does sum up the area. That is Redcar.
It's weird that they chose that area, though, isn't it? I wonder.
Yeah.
Maybe not steel, but you could tell that message. You could tell that story in a town nearer to where he's actually from and where the guys are from. The guys.
Yeah.
The guys.
Yeah. Well, it's near where Matty is from, isn't it? Because I think he was actually born in Newcastle.
Right.
Yeah.
How weird. And none of the others appear in the video. So maybe it was a very personal experience for him, or maybe he'd gone to see cousin Jamie up in Newcastle, and he's like, oh, I should probably film a video.
Yeah, it's funny because the top comment on the video was, although this looks like a nice place, I'm from here and it's actually a shithole.
Yeah, doesn't look like a nice place, mate.
Anything that can look good in black and white, though.
It's true. Black and white and all emotional. It reminds me a lot of the whole Face Down EP videos.
Yeah.
In that it's, obviously it's black and white. It's got to be black and white for a start. it's quite abstract. It's not like, you're watching a lot of like images with no real context.
Yeah, I don't get what happens in that video.
It's very... It fits. It all just fits. Like, visually, it just fits what they're going for. And I like that. Like, I don't... Like I've said before, that really music videos, I don't really pay that much attention to them.
No.
Like,
I remember in media studies with Mr. Bateman, who, Josh, you will not know.
I do not. Neither will any listener.
Well, if you went to Wardwell High School, you may know Mr. Bateman. But we were studying music videos and, like, the types of music videos. And for me, I was like, performance videos are dull. I don't want a performance video because anyone can come up with that shit. I want a video with a story. My example was My Hero by
Foo Fighters. That's a great video.
That is a music video.
That's the video, yeah. I'll just quickly look on the Wikipedia page for English rock band, the 1975. Settle Down was released February 2014, so that's quick maths. That's 5 months after the album was released. So it's past the sort of peak of the promotion for all that. So it's just all like keeping things going at this video. They're not breaking any sort of like filmmaking boundaries with it as such. It's just something else to churn out to keep the album cycle going. But I really like it as a piece of art.
It's good. Yeah. Okay. We've done that one now. Next song.
Yeah. So Robbers was released. Robbers was the next single.
I didn't mean it.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know I've said it, but I don't get what the video's trying to say. Maybe I'm just not arty enough.
I don't, but we're analysing music, really. We're not, so I'm fine with not knowing.
It's cool. They don't look foolish. They've done a good job. Yeah. Well done, them.
And also, I guess I mentioned it at the top of the show, but this was, this is when they still do it now to an extent, but they released the merch, the individual song merch. So like, I've got the Settle Down t-shirt, so it's like, I had it on the other day, so it's in the wash now. But, so it's like the box, and then it's like, it's the waves, you know, at the very start of the video.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like that, and then there's the box, and then it says the 975 Settle Down. But it was that whole thing they did like a girl's t-shirt that I think had like a load of like roses on it and stuff. It's the sex t-shirt where it's like the bedding as well.
One thing that I kind of miss about the early 975 days is the eureka moments where you go, that's what he's saying. Because obviously now, you can just find the lyrics on Genius or in the pamphlets, in the pamphlet that accompanies the record.
Pamphlet.
So I kind of miss those eureka moments.
Pamphlets. It's like what your doctor gives you about using condoms.
Pamphlet is such a funny word.
You know, when I reading these lyrics, when I do sing this song, I do sort of go like, learn round you. Just the odd word I just sing.
Yeah.
Bum bum.
On Genius, it says that soft sound is a euphemism for oral sex.
I'm fixated on the girl with the soft sound. It's odd, isn't it?
I just presumed it meant that she was quite softly spoken.
Is it that, or do you reckon? I don't know for that. I think that's one of those Genius annotations where people know that the intro song's about blowjobs, and then they've sort of,
also blowjobs.
Infer this from it, yeah. It was like that one about the intro song. We did an episode about it, if you've not heard it, but there was someone did a Genius annotation which said, a lot of people think this isn't about blowjobs, but I think it's about a couple exploring their love and all this. And then an official comment from Matt said, yep, it's about blowjobs.
Yeah, cuts to the chase.
Right, so what do we think about the lyrics to this? Because I was thinking, honestly, it was more in the vein of, like, The City. Because we said, like, The City was a great song, but it didn't matter that the lyrics, again, were quite abstract and didn't need to make such sense, like, throughout the song. I thought it was more like that, but then that quote from Matty explained that it's more of just like a love song. I get it, but I do think I think it's a mix. I think it's a mix between, like, there's various, like, phrases and passages that are so good, and also just, like, random abstract kind of things he's thrown in just because it sounds cool and makes a good song, really.
Yeah. On that first stanza, technical term, stanza, maybe it is a Blowy reference, because all I'm going off is the way that she wears her hair down, covering her face. Like, I mean, if you're a pro, that bobbles in. But if you're a bit more shy about it, maybe you want her to cover your face while you're noshing him off. just a theory.
The verse when it's like a small town dictating all the people we get around. I like that line, I think.
But that's a small town. That's back to the Heart Out lyric.
Yeah, it links back, yeah. Right?
Rushing in a small town.
Rushing in a small town,
But it's good. I like that sort of... There's no... Because even at this point, we know they're not sort of... We know the lyrics are self-referential, but I like that they're repurposing their own songs and their own sort of...
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And, like, obviously we see it with, like, Face Down and Lost My Head, where it's, like, interpolated is the term that I learned from Genius and use, like, I just know it. But I like that they do that, and they're doing it between album and here, like, it's, like, song on song, they're still using the same.
Yeah.
And obviously the soft sound thing is to the intro song. Small town is Heart Out. I just like that there's those references, almost like Easter eggs between the songs.
Yeah, it's like a nod to the fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
It builds on it, doesn't it? Like, it was Matt Carline who said to me, do you know him? Do you know him, Filipino listeners? It's like, oh, they kind of like write about the same thing, don't they? And I'm like, nah, they're just referencing the other song. It's like, I remember that. Like, it's like a known... Like, it's, what am I trying to say? It's like for those in the know. Like, it's like, yeah, that links back to that. And it makes the whole thing a little bit more cohesive that everything links in with each other, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's funny, like, we're just talking about this now, because on the reviews for Notes on a Conditional Form, someone references, I'm going to use the word reference here too much, I think. Someone in the review writes about how one of the lyrics on the new album says, "I never fucked in a car," which is then a reference to Love It If We Made It, and they said they don't like that. But then here we are going on about how we do like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that that's just something, because we like the band, we just like that they do this.
Yeah. Is it a reference to sex as well? I know a van and a car are technically separate, but, you know, Citroën Berlingo is a van with windows. You can get like a Corsa van. So, you know, there's a crossover. That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly, yeah. You never know. What I mean when I say like the abstract like lines and passages, isn't it? Like, you know, "And you're losing your words, we're speaking in bodies, avoiding me talking about you. And you're losing your turn, I guess I'll never learn, because I'll stay another hour or two."
Bum bum.
Bum bum. Like that, yeah, great lyrics, but it's not hitting me a face that there's sort of what the constant theme of this song is and what the song is trying to talk about.
Yeah, they're just a bit more abstract than...
But, I mean, that's just in the verses, but... The chorus, I think, is such a good... I mean, I think the way it's sang and the sort of phrasing of, like, the... Even though it's not one of the anthems you think as such, I think live, the chorus is such a sort of single on chorus.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true, yeah. It really lifts.
Yeah.
And it's that just the end of like, we get back to my house, your hands, my mouth. No, I just stop myself around you. That's so good. Now that's like, that goes back to that vein of like, sort of similar to like sex and stuff like that. That kind of like, you know, 19-year-olds in the back of a van or whatever, like sort of,
you know, tell me more.
That kind of writing, they do like that.
Yeah, wonder what soft sound means though.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It's like to really say, ah, these lyrics are sick. I really get them. They identify with me. You've got to understand what that means, or you can't.
Yeah,
I really love the rhythm, like the rhythm of the lyrics, like da 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 da. Like it's very interesting. Like
yeah,
and it's not linear at all, and it makes you want to dance, man. Like it's very rhythmic. I like it.
I think
that's always been a big part of this for me.
In the where it does the pre-chorus, yeah, sorry, yeah, when it does the pre-chorus, the guitar sticks out a bit more and does that sort of like that staccato, really, like, and it's sort of, it mirrors the like the way it's sang. It doesn't mirror it perfectly, but that kind of like same style.
Yeah,
it just, oh, it's just musically, I just think this song is just so good. I think it's one of the best on the album musically.
It's a vibe.
It is. They've just nailed it with this one.
I'm searching Urban Dictionary for soft sound. That's where I am right now.
That's what it's come to.
That's what it's come to. No, nothing. Nothing on there.
So on YouTube, on the 1975 Vivo, or it's like a Vivo Lift, whatever, there is a live version of this, like an official sort of official release live version of this song. And at the start, there's the intro song, and then it just goes into this. And obviously, they never open a gig with this. I just think it's interesting that they chose this song as an official live video release on YouTube.
You mean because it's not like it was never the obvious single? It's placed in the live set. Like, why did they choose to do that on the YouTube thing?
Yeah, really, because to me, including that intro song, it's just something else for people to discover the band, and it's like, all right, what's this, you know, what's this song at the start, and then it goes into this other song. If you want to do that and you want people to sort of discover your band, you do it with like Chocolate or The City. You do like a live version of that. You wouldn't do like a live version of Settle Down. I just find that a really interesting choice.
Okay, yeah, it's like they're at the point where they can play whatever song they want, can't they? They've got so many like big hitters, and they're like almost like, do you fancy playing that? Fancy playing Settle Down? Yeah, all right, then. Like,
yeah, maybe they just enjoy playing it.
But I mean, like live now, this is dropped out of the rotation, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've not done your feature, Josh. How many times?
I'll tell you exactly how many times. 398.
There you go.
Imagine playing a song that many times and it's still not your most played song.
2013, obviously year of the album. 2014, played loads, touring that album. 2015, like, it's dropped out massively. It's not been played live since 2018.
Do you know what? This song, like, the guitar riff in it is overtaken by the... whatever instrument that is, I can never put my finger on what it's supposed to be. It's almost like whistling.
Oh, it's the same thing. And when it comes back at the end, it's just so whistleable, isn't it?
Yes,
But the guitar riff that it's over is unreal.
They last played this on the 12th of August 2018, which was 8 days before my 25th birthday. So it must have been in a tribute to me that. Oh, okay.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it? It's another one of them that would be massive, or should be massive, if another band had done it. Like, I think the production on it's fucking great. We've not really discussed that in much detail, but...
It's the whole album, though, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, Mike Cross has done a great job.
Has! Like, in the background. That references back to Heart Out, right?
Yeah. I think it's hard to know really where, like... I don't know. I don't go back and forth on this song because I love it. I think it's great. But
yeah,
I think if you're comparing it to others, like, I've got a good idea. Right. I'll say a name of a song on this album, and you've got to say that or Settle Down, which one you prefer.
Okay.
Money.
Settle Down.
Settle Down.
Girls.
Girls.
Ooh,
oh, yeah, that's not a choice for me. That's easy.
Girls. Yeah, Girls.
When I said that one, I didn't think it'd be that divisive. She Way Out.
She Way Out. She Way Out.
See, for me, it's Settle Down. The City. That's obvious.
The City.
Wow, that's hard because The City, because it means more and it's...
Yeah.
But like for like, if I've never heard two songs and somebody plays me The City and somebody like with no context around who they are or what they're doing, song for song, Settle Down.
Ooh,
yeah, it's The City for me.
Pressure.
Oh,
I really like Pressure, man. Really,
I
like
think
it.
Pressure. You know, yeah, I think Pressure.
I'm saying Settle Down for that one, and then
that's close. That's not fair. That one, but go on.
Menswear.
Menswear.
Settle Down.
Oh, I don't know. That's really hard for me, Menswear, Settle Down. I don't know. I'm gonna
I love Menswear, but it's just... It's like, what angle are you coming at it from? Like, is it a desert island thing where you're like, you get double the song and Settle Down?
you don't. You only get 33 seconds more.
Yeah, but come on, Menswear is only...
Mainly intro.
A minute and a half, isn't it?
I'm going to leave out Sex, Chocolate and Robbers because I assume I know the answer to those.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Robbers is so good.
I'm going to leave out Talk as well because I also assume I know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'd go Settle Down over Talk, yeah. Is that what you were saying?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I think everyone's pretty comfortable with Talk probably being the least good, let's say. Yeah, I love Settle Down, but I love it just for this. I think I love it musically. I don't think it's hitting that top tier of songs on this. I like this one, and I always think it's underrated because people don't really talk about it. But I think just then, when we're comparing it to other songs on the album, it's not standing out. And
no,
I'm saying I want to hear it live. But I don't. I don't want to hear it over Girls. I don't want to hear it over. I don't want to hear it over The City live, which we don't get really.
I feel like this analogy could probably be broken down very quickly, but just hear me out.
We've spent an hour on it, so come on.
I feel like it's kind of like Dairy Milk, right? As
Matt, people love these analogies, by the way.
As residents of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, I don't think we realise how spoilt we are that Dairy Milk is just so accessible. Like, it doesn't, to us, stand out as anything special chocolate, because it's just, that is our measure of chocolate, and it's incredible chocolate. You can deviate, you can go to the cheap advent calendar stuff, or you can go slightly more expensive. But Cadbury's chocolate is incredible, and we're just used to it. And I feel like that's probably where Settle Down is. It's such a great song, but we're just used to it.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah,
we're spoiled.
Yeah,
we are spoiled.
I mean, there's, you know, other foodstuffs you can transfer that to. Like, I remember the first time I ever read Punk IPA by BrewDog. I was like, wow, this stuff's tasty.
It is a game changer, to be fair, BrewDog.
Yeah, but now I'm just like, Punk IPA is my measure.
The standard, yeah.
That is my measure. Is it better or worse than Punk IPA? Walker's crisps, that's another one, but that's probably not a stronger analogy.
So if your sex is Punk IPA, right, there's a lot of beers out there, but they're not really punk, man. They're sick beers, like, don't, you know, It's all good. We all like a drink. If there's no punk, I'll drink your beer, but...
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the dregs.
So in conclusion, Settle Down is both Dairy Milk and the dregs.
But it's not punk IPA.
It's not punk IPA. Yeah, that's it. I love this song, but like you say, Matt, when you compare it to some of the other stuff on this album, it doesn't stand out above them. And it's not in the top tier of stuff. And honestly, when it came to that second album, you've only got so many songs to fill, really. And also, you got to think as well about, because obviously there's like a cult following for this band. What I do think is weird as well is that, not weird because I understand why completely, but I can't think of any other band where there would be such a sort of desire for them to play the songs off the EPs live.
Yeah.
What other band would get that? Because people are like, obviously, like Antichrist has become like a bit of like a joke. But stuff like, I'm like, God, I wish they'd play Heads, Cards, Men Didn't Lie. And I'm like, oh yeah, I really want them to play that one song off an EP pre-album that wasn't even a single, which wasn't even like a huge song, but I really wanted to play it. What other band has got that? I can't think of anything like
that's an appetite from its fans for
for everything they've produced. Like, because I mean, obviously, like, take for example Blink-182, like we talk about them a lot because we all really like them and we know them quite well. It's nice to compare. But really, there's not that much. Oh, play some album tracks off Cheshire Cat. There isn't that. And it's like...
No,
you're right.
Shut up and play the hits.
But like, with the 975, it's like, oh God, why aren't they playing me live all the time? And it's like, you know, which I think is great and because they're all such good songs.
I feel like they just drag a level of passion out of the fans that... you don't get from other bands.
Yeah. And I think it might be the fact that they don't just do things musically as well. They've sort of created the whole visual identity and it's part of like we say, it feels like more of a...
cult.
Yes.
Saying that though, on my iPod, you did not hear that wrong. iPod.
Do you mean sorry. iPhone?
I'm sorry, what is he trying to say?
iPhone?
Do you know Dan? I don't know. AirPods. You mean AirPods, right?
No, well, before AirPods, there was iPods.
Did they go in your eyes?
Yes, yeah. Like AirPods, but for your eyes. And on my iPod, I've got some Bloc Party songs that aren't on Spotify. And it really fucking annoys me that I can't hear them because I don't know where that iPod is. It's somewhere.
Hey, Josh, 1% listener to Blink-182 in the world.
That's me, Dan.
Right. Hey, is there anyone on this podcast that's 1% listener to Blink-182 in the world?
Me.
hey, Josh, right?
Eating the paste.
Hey, Josh, what went wrong? Bonus track, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. I know you know it. Unavailable on Spotify.
Is it?
You've not heard that song since you switched to Spotify.
Wow, right, that's it. Hang on.
I hate a favourite restaurant. A favourite movie, a favourite show.
Oh, yes.
Ah, sick, bro.
Welcome back to Aliens Exist, the Blink-182 podcast.
Hey, Blink-155 inspired me to start this podcast, so shout out to those guys. Whoop. And also, Matt, you saying that, yeah, we're two white men in our 20s. What are we doing not having a podcast?
Who do we think we are not having a podcast?
What should we say? So in conclusion, in this essay we have discussed that Settle Down is a mint song. Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Settle Down is the Dairy Milk.
The Dairy Milk.
1975 songs.
Oh, amazing.
To Europeans, that is Milka. And to Americans, that is Hershey's. No, that's not even a fair...
I tell you what, if you European motherfuckers don't appreciate your access to Milka, right, then you don't, you can fuck off. Because that's some good shit that we just can't get our hands on proper.
I'm not... Do you know what? I've got some dairy milk in the fridge, so I'm going to be...
Yeah, you've not got any Milka, though.
Ah, oh, yeah, but dairy milk's the best. Milka's shite in comparison. Every now and again, you need some Hershey's or some Milka as a palate cleanser just to make you go running back to dairy milk.
Makes you...
Running.
Makes you bloody proud to be British, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Fuck 'em. I'm Europeans. Coming over Brexit. Here. Shelling our peas.
What we're doing is we're parodying racism.
Oh, today I was in Salford. Big up the Salford, massive. And I walked past a lorry driver parked up, right? And his phone went off. And I could hear his ringtone because it was hooked up to the old Bluetooth. His ringtone was Rule Britannia.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I thought, lorry driver, Rule Britannia ringtone, could he get any more Brexit?
I bet he's out protesting 5G and coronavirus. I bet he thinks wearing a mask makes him a simp or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of my favourite memes this week was, if a fart can get through two ash cheeks pushed together, underwear and jeans, what makes you think coronavirus ain't getting through that mask?
That is funny, actually.
So that's true.
That is fucking hilarious.
I was going to say something else, but I'll tell you what.
Is it that Nestle chocolate is rubbish?
Pointless.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's shite.
Shite. What's Snickers? Because that's not...
Mars.
Oh, right, okay.
But I'm getting to the technicality of just chocolate. Don't get me wrong, I like a Kit Kat, and that is Nestle.
Oh, but don't Kit Kat chunky.
Don't be giving me a Yorkie, which is...
Yorkie is bad just, quality chocolate, isn't it?
That's Nestle chocolate. Like, you can handle a thin layer of it around your Kit Kat chunky, but do not want
what about
to
Galaxy,
be chewy
though?
On Yorkies. That's also Mars.
Oh, is it?
If you want to talk, if we should probably start a confectionery podcast because I've obviously got the knowledge. Yeah, that's Mars. Galaxy, a bit too sweet for me.
I thought Galaxy was Nestle because I was going to say, yeah, Yorkie is bad. I don't know why.
Yeah, I bet girls are like,
keep it.
I don't want it.
Right, let's do the intro. Right, thank you to everyone around the world who has listened to the podcast. Like we say, it means a lot that people actually listen to us talk about the 1975. It's insane.
And chocolate.
And no chocolate, yeah. We've got what we released at this point. Heart Out is out with Max as our guest. We've got our album review of Notes up. It's like a bonus episode, so go and listen to that. You can find us on Twitter at the 1975pod. Or if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels. Matt?
My favourite feature. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Junior, but Junior is spelled JEWKNOOR, Jew, like follower of the religion... Judaism, knee like the bend in your leg, and or as in either or. That's Juliet Echo Whiskey Kilo November Echo Echo Oscar Romeo.
We've really got that down now. It's just concise.
Can I have that phonetically? I'm not on any social media, but George Daniel was last on his WhatsApp. But, and I've decided we should start doing the date and time that we're recording it so that he can think, fucking hell, they're right. Do you know what I mean? Because he does have some pretty big gaps in his WhatsApp last seen. So I think he might be able to start tracking back and realising that we do know. So the time is 10 past 12. No, it's not. The time is 12 past 10. on the 21st of May, 2020. George Daniels' last scene was at 1853 today. Who you messaged, Georgie?
1853? That's just before the guys video premiered.
Yeah, who's excited? Yes.
George, if you're listening and you want us to sup, just DM us a middle finger emoji.
But while we've got your attention, what's your favourite chocolate?
Yeah,
it's weird,
George.
Isn't it? It's the like most minor invasion of privacy ever. The last time you looked at a specific app on your phone, not what you did or anything. It's just like, we know you've had your phone in your hand.
I just thought that's a good idea. Like, every guest, we should just ask, what's your favourite chocolate bar?
That's a difficult question to answer. I'm very keen on a Star bar.
Well, that's
underrated chocolate.
I would have to go. It's either a Snickers or a Kit Kat Chunky. As much as I love a Twix.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'll go with Snickers, you know.
Yeah, I love Snickers because I love nuts.
Yeah. Oh, Marathon Bar in America, is it?
Yeah.
So international. That's for you in Shelbyville.
You know what? I'm going to retract my previous statement about a Star bar because I'm nearly 30. They're too sweet. I can't eat a full one.
So you're just like a muesli bar, is that what you're saying?
Yes. I've got more cereal bars than I know what to do with currently. Big fan of a cereal bar. But that's not the question. So I think as a mainstream chocolate bar, it would have to be Dairy Milk, wouldn't it? I like the variations with nuts in and stuff, but Dairy Milk, standard. Love it.
You can't be a
classic. But I prefer dark chocolate. I do prefer dark chocolate, but I don't like Bourneville.
Do you know what? Since we've been, I don't know how, this will be a bonus episode talking about chocolate. Obviously, their Starbucks is like closed. Starbucks dark chocolate. So good.
I'm glad we've had this discussion about chocolate. And it wasn't even on the chocolate episode.
Right.
Full circle.
Dan, just in one word or less, your favourite chocolate bar?
Crunchy.
Thank you, Dan.
Good choice.
Right, thank you everyone for tuning in. And we will see you next week with a big episode. Fucking hell, it's robbers or girls? I can't remember which one.
It's robbers.
It's robbers. Right, thank you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.